Okay, welcome everybody to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and let's join together, dropping into this moment, into that quiet, still space that we all share within. And taking a few mindful breaths, ceasing whatever it is that we might be doing just for a moment to drop into the here and now. In this holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. Let's together place the Holy Spirit in charge, giving the Holy Spirit our entire time together, trusting that we will say what needs to be said, we'll hear what we need to hear, we'll read exactly what we need to read. And with that love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of this time and place. Okay. So in the Sparkle Edition, we're picking up on page 239. The subheading is From Darkness to Light. In the original edition, it is page 200. It's chapter 10, part 4, also called From Darkness to Light. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's page 198. It's chapter 11, part 3, also called From Darkness to Light. All right, here we go. When you are weary, remember you have hurt yourself. Your comforter will rest you, but you cannot. You do not know how, for if you did, you could never have grown weary. Unless you have hurt yourselves, you could never suffer in any way, for that is not God's will for his sons. Pain is not of him, for he knows no attack, and his peace surrounds you silently. God is very quiet, for there is no conflict in him. Conflict is the root of all evil, for being blind, it does not see whom it attacks. Yet it always attacks the Son of God, and the Son of God is you. So when I read this earlier today, in my hammock, feeling exhausted, the first line, when you are weary, remember you have hurt yourself. Your comforter will rest you, but you cannot, you do not know how. For if you didn't, you never could have grown weary. That struck me so deeply, particularly that second sentence, your comforter will rest you, but you cannot. So the Course is saying, as we've talked many times before, it's saying we don't even know how to forgive. We don't even know how to, you know, choose love necessarily. It's our choice for the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit does the forgiveness. The Holy Spirit chooses love for us. So even here, I was so struck that we don't even know how to rest ourselves. We don't even know how to, replenish ourselves. It's our comforter. It's the Holy Spirit who knows how to do that. So again, our task always becomes to turn to the Holy Spirit in any given situation, and that's where real rest comes from. So I was struck by that, as I said, as I was feeling completely exhausted earlier today.
You know, this line, his peace surrounds you silently. Last couple of weeks, maybe the last month, I think this has something to do with working with the Course in Miracles for so many years.
Mm-hmm.
I've had been in these very judgmental kind of crazy places, and all of a sudden, I walked away from someone this week I just was so disturbed by the nonsense, and I got that. Same. It happened a while ago to me. It's been happening a lot lately, where all of a sudden, in the middle of it, this peace is just there, and so apparent. And it's like, oh, I don't have to do this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I don't have to do this. And it's like this reminder. And yet I'll still continue to do it a little more, but I know, really, I don't have to do this. Mm-hmm. I can stop this nonsense, and I don't have to do this.
That's so awesome, Paula. I'm so glad that you shared that, because that's such a profound reminder that when we, you know, people have asked before, you know, does it get easier? Yes, it does.
I know.
That's exactly what you're describing, that as we, you know, make that choice again and again and again, that's where it's like we learn to be vigilant only to find that ultimately, like you're saying, you don't have to do anything. It just is going to happen because it's there. And so it's like we're learning vigilance to learn that there actually is no need for vigilance because that piece is what we are. And so that's just a beautiful, beautiful example. I'm so glad that you shared
that. Why I wanted to say it again, because it's like, yeah, I mean, people have been saying, it really works.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
really a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Awesome.
I have a question. This is Yogi.
Hey.
And could you apply this to a very difficult situation or rambunctious puppy or that's just gotten very, very unruly? How would you apply this to a pet?
I would apply it in the same way that I do with any other person. So do you mean... do you mean this particular paragraph, or do you just mean in general, like, you know, the process of, like,
well, the course is talking about just in general, mm-hmm. Forgiveness and forgiveness of your brother, or, so it suddenly occurred to me that, yes, you would apply to every situation,
mm-hmm.
but how could you apply it to a situation where you're really not sure if you're going to be able to keep this puppy
mm-hmm.
because it's
mm-hmm.
just he's just gotten so out of control. And part of that is just puppy behavior.
Uh-huh.
But the other thing also, too, is that I had a very long talk with a behavioral psychologist and
uh-huh.
the vet yesterday, and I just am not an alpha. I'm not an alpha dominant. Animals need, especially male dogs, they come from a pack, they come from a wolf, that's their species, and they need a leader of the pack. And
uh-huh.
if they don't get a leader, they become the dominant vibration.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then they develop all kinds of health issues, but they
right.
take that on. So...
I'm trying
to figure out what the best thing to do, both for the animal and for myself, and
mm-hmm.
I've called a breeder, but I'm thinking, well, could it just be almost certainly along the way there was some could have been some attacked thoughts in my mind?
Mm-hmm.
But I've been very careful to, the lesson 30 says, I seek God in everything because God is in my mind, and I've been saying I see love in Llama because love is in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been helping a lot, but I've just had a very difficult day today.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
I was wondering,
so,
how would we apply this, the lesson in general, and just what you've just read?
Yeah. So you're still in puppy hell,
sounds
like.
And it gets worse every day. For
wow.
he knows, because it's for he knows, unless you hurt yourself, you could not suffer in any way
mm-hmm.
For that is not God's will for his son. Pain is not of him, for he knows no attack, and his peace surrounds you silently.
So what is coming up for me as we're talking is that the lines that you just read, unless you have hurt yourself, you could never suffer in any way. I take this back to the more abstract level of the course in my head, and I'll answer you concretely in just a moment, where
okay.
it's talking about we chose to experience this state of separation, and so we brought that pain upon ourselves. And there's a line in the course that says, the secret of salvation is this, you are doing this unto yourself. And that's not, and I mean, we could look at it probably from a more concrete manner, but if we think about it broadly, we've chosen to come here, and the course says, you know, this that the ego wrote its script, and this is all, you know, sort of playing out that ego script. So to answer you more concretely, I would keep noticing what the puppy is bringing up in me, like, you know, the anger, if there's guilt, whatever, and keep bringing that to the Holy Spirit and ask for, you know, ask for help in seeing the circumstances behind the situation. Those are just some words from the course that are coming to mind for me.
Yeah, and I've been really, really good, because one of the things that was happening was guilt. Like,
yeah,
you know, when I have to scold or do anything that the obedience, you know, that the trainer told me, guilt. And animals are very, very intelligent. They have such incredible sentience. And he would know when I'd feel guilty. So there was definitely guilt. He's picking up on guilt. And he's just picking up on the fact that I'm not feeling strong about my leadership with him. That's really crystal clear.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really interesting, because before I got him, I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, is this the right puppy for me? And I went ahead of the Holy Spirit. When the breeder didn't call me back, I took it as a sign of the Holy Spirit saying, don't try to make the decision for yourself.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't listen to the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
So the Holy Spirit is using this now, is still using my, and I remember a portion of the text that I read this week that said, your thoughts are destructive, you think destructively. And so one thing that this has done for me, I will never make a decision by myself anymore. Never.
So this has been a profound.
I don't know what anything is for.
Yeah, so this has been a profound learning experience then, and how beautiful then that we can reframe the whole thing as that, as this really,
yeah,
really profound learning experience. And if there is guilt, if there is anger, as you touch that and bring that to the Holy Spirit, once it becomes clear to you what you need to do, there will be no guilt. So meaning if you do, you know, end up not being, you know, this animal's caretaker forever, there will be no guilt. And if you notice guilt, notice it and bring it to the Holy Spirit. Again,
I mean, okay, so just, so when there's guilt, it means that I haven't given it to the Holy Spirit then.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because, you know, like I realized that I think the Holy Spirit knew this was not right for me, and I jumped ahead.
Uh-huh.
I jumped ahead and I called the breeder, and because she didn't get the message, and it was as though the Holy Spirit wanted me to wait, I jumped ahead. And so, but the Holy Spirit is still using this.
Mm-hmm.
It's still using this, and, you know, I'm still helping the animal because it came to me with an infection, and so I put out hundreds of dollars trying to heal its infection, raking it for hours every day. So I know I'm doing my part.
Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that you said that the Holy Spirit is still using this, because that's such a beautiful statement that no matter what this is how we can't get it wrong. Even if we make our decisions without the Holy Spirit and we're like, nope, I want it to be this way, and we go down that path, it doesn't matter, because the Holy Spirit will use anything that we bring to the Holy Spirit on behalf of our own awakening. So that's why there's no guilt. That's why we can't, you know, screw it up, as long, you know, the way out is just to simply keep taking it to the Holy Spirit. So it's beautiful that you can still see that the Holy Spirit is still using this on behalf of, you know, your growth and learning, and that puppies too.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, wow. Quite a teaching learning situation. was that helpful? Did I don't
That was very helpful.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad.
Cool. Yeah, it was.
Wow. Okay, so how about we take the next paragraph? God's son is indeed in need of comfort, for he knows not what he does. Believing his will is not his own. The kingdom is his, and yet he wanders homelessly. At home in God, he is lonely, and amid all his brothers, he is friendless. Would God let this be real if he did not will to be alone himself? And if your will is his, it cannot be true of you, because it is not true of him. Oh, my children, if you knew what God wills for you, your joy would be complete. And what he wills has happened, for it was always true. Mm. So here again, what comes up for me is a statement that I just shared about the secret of salvation is that we're doing this unto ourselves. This first sentence where it says, God's son is indeed in need of comfort, for he knows not what he does, believing his will is not his own. Believing his will is not his own. So again, that will that God has for love, for peace, for oneness, we are afraid of that, and so we don't believe that that's ours. We instead, you know, pick other things that we can see and touch and feel and focus on and put our energy, you know, away from God and to the world instead, because we think God's will is something alien to us. And yet, I just had another thought pop to mind, so I feel like I'm hoping I'm going to make some coherent sense here, but we think that the world is happening to us. We think, you know, it's some alien thing that it's happening to us, when in fact what the Course is saying is that we're doing this unto ourselves. That's that secret of salvation quote. And so our will is truly, again, to be home, to be at peace, to be one at home in love, and yet it's just something that we have chosen to forget. I'm not sure if that was coherent or not, but anyway. What comes up for you in this paragraph? Does anything arise
that
for anybody? Just
the present moment is what mm-hmm. really comes up for me, because, you know, whenever we project outward, like with the puppy, you know, oh, God, what's going to happen next? Oh, or you can even, sometimes it's not even in words, but I actually get images of what I think is going to happen next.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the real, just getting in the moment with the whole thing, with the Holy Spirit, is such a powerful thing, because it kind of, you know, undoes that fear and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And
I feel like the ego, it feeds on thoughts of the past and thoughts of the future. That's how it
really
grows.
Does.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Thank you for both reminding me of that, because I really, really have spent so much time with just, you know, The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle is just from The Course in Miracles, all of it. And I've spent a lot of time with him before he became known. And I really try to live in the present moment. But boy, I'm telling you, sometimes you just really go outside of that. So it's always good to remember, to hear you, Paula, and, you know, reminding me. It's just about now. It's right here and what's here right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and trust would settle all things right now.
Yeah.
You know, that's it's trusting it. Trust this puppy. Just and have fun with this puppy.
Yeah.
You know, just have fun with this puppy.
Well, he's a lot of fun.
And you know what?
Yeah, he's a lot of fun.
I'll tell you something. There's nothing wrong with losing your temper. There is nothing wrong with losing your temper, because they're just like little children. And even with the cats, boy, they know.
Oh, yeah.
Don't tick me off. And they'll back off. And that's really being the dominant, you know, the alpha. It's really not being afraid to let it rip if you need to, because they can really test you. I mean, a puppy will take you right out to the edge. Oh, my God, I have a friend whose puppy pulled his pants down. He's walking the dog, and he's trying to control the dog. The dog went around him and literally pulled his pants down. He's breathing so damn hard. And these were, he had golden doodles, and they're real high-energy, big dogs. And after about a year and a half or so, they really started calming down. He's doing better with them, but God.
I thank you for saying that, Paul. It'll really take you to the edge. I didn't. Yeah, thank you for saying that, because that's what it is. Yeah, it's all about trust. Yeah.
Yeah, and thank you, Paula, for the reminder too, that if you need to lose your temper, that's where, you know, the Course doesn't. It's not an intellectual thing where we want to stuff that. And, you know, that if we that feeling of wanting to lose our temper. So it's not like, oh, I noticed that, I'm just going to not, you know, do that. It's about feeling it. Maybe we don't choose to act with it, but it's about feeling it or even acting on it and taking it to the Holy Spirit, because as we do this process,
He will undo all the consequences of your wrong decision.
Absolutely.
If you will let Him. And it may be a wrong decision to lose your temper.
Right.
But no problem.
Exactly. So that's why we have to be where we're at and go through our lessons. We can't skip over them. You know, the only way through it is through it. So we go through it, we don't feel guilty about it, and we take it to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What it is the guilt, the deep subconscious guilt comes in, and then there's the punishing. The Holy Spirit doesn't want, then you feel the Holy, I feel the Holy Spirit doesn't want this. Which is not true. That's the ego.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Yep. That sneaky little voice that's whenever, however it shows up, like, oh, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to do this, or whatever form it may take, that tiny little, again, that's guilt again, right? That's feeling like, uh-oh, you know, I'm doing something here. That's that sneaky little ego again getting in there.
I think at the bottom of all of this is that, and as we work with the Course, that deep understanding that comes that God loves us no matter what we do, no matter how rotten, awful. And I have a couple of incidences in my life that I go to a lot where I think, oh yeah, but not that one. God doesn't love that one. Oh yes, He does. Okay? Oh yes, He does. Mm-hmm. There are no exceptions. You can't do anything to change His immutable love for us.
Amen.
Amen.
That is so true.
This is Deidre. I've been listening, and I watched a video probably about a week ago with David Hoffmeister, who's a really deepened teacher of the Course. And he was talking about some really heated issues, one being addiction and the other being sexuality, and where the Course stands on both. And the reason I'm bringing it up is there's something that he said that I think applies with the puppy. And so he was talking about sexuality and how the world has all these rules about that are culturally based about what is right and wrong with, you know, sexuality. And he said Spirit doesn't look at sexuality in that sense. He says a lot of this is individualized for each soul. And the reason that is because for one person, they might be extremely repressed sexually, and it would actually be very, very healthy for them to have a healthy sexual experience instead of keeping all the urges and the desires and the feelings inside and having the adverse effects of that psychologically on the soul. Same type of thing with, you know, so he was saying Spirit might work with someone who has maybe been quite promiscuous and encourage that soul to take on a more celibate lifestyle. And so you can see how there's a gray area where the same rules don't apply to everybody. God is very, very loving and very, very gentle with all of us. And depending on our experience with sexuality, it'll be different. And why I'm saying this is I'm picking up for Yogi that it would actually be very healthy for you to practice assertiveness, because it's not a bad thing to be assertive. It actually can be a really healthy thing. And I think that's part of the journey with this puppy for you.
Right. You're absolutely, my God. I mean, I knew that you were a gifted psychic, but you just hit the nail on the head. I know.
Yeah.
And I want to cry because that's what it is, I mean, and then you were talking about sexuality, and I'm not going to go into that on the phone, but, and he's a male, and so, oh, my God, it's all tied in.
Yeah.
And on some level, I realized that that's one of the reasons why he came to me, to be dominant and to be assertive with him, to heal that male dominance. That's all I need to say.
Yeah, because it's actually
he obviously picked up on it.
Yeah, like, I'm getting from spirit that it'll be very freeing for you to allow that part of yourself to come forward because it's really repressed right now.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you, Deidre, for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Deidre. Yeah, you just hit the nail. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head.
and just be gentle with yourself, Yogi, because none of us have like a manual that tells us how things are supposed to feel, you know. And I think that you have ideas about how what's acceptable behavior for you. And I think this is Spirit's way of saying, let that go, and just be with the dog. You know, let yourself be with the dog. And like Paula says, if that means you lose your temper, that's okay. You don't have the capacity to hurt this dog. I'm telling you that right now.
It's funny you said that because I called the Byron Katie hotline. And one of the things, Byron Katie is, of course, she is somebody who does the same kind of stuff that we're doing. And one of the thoughts was, I'm afraid, my biggest fear was that I would hurt for years. I would mistreat the dog the way my parents mistreated me.
Yeah.
And when we worked with it, we turned it around. She said, no, you don't have the capacity to do that. That's what you're saying. That's, yeah.
it's honestly Spirit. Like, it's coming through me, but it's honestly Spirit for you right now.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Wow. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you for allowing us to witness that. That was really powerful. Let's read another paragraph. When the light comes and you have said, God's will is mine, you will see such beauty that you will know it is not of you. Out of your joy, you will create beauty in his name, for your joy could no more be contained than his. The bleak little world will vanish into nothingness. And your heart will be so filled with joy that it will leap into heaven and into the presence of God. I cannot tell you what this will be like, for your hearts are not ready. Yet I can tell you and remind you often that what God wills for himself, he wills for you. And what he wills for you is yours. I don't feel like I have any words. Does anybody else have any words?
I was with my daughter this afternoon, my older daughter, and she allows me to talk like this now. And
wow.
I was talking to her about God's will being happiness for us. And I felt at really a loss for words. And reading this paragraph, oh, my God. I mean, I didn't know how to express it to her. But this is exactly what I would love to have been able to say to her. Mm. It is so beautiful.
Isn't it? I agree. I completely agree. I feel like this paragraph just says it all. I need no, say nothing.
Oh, my God.
Let's read the next paragraph. The way is not hard, but it is very different. Yours is the way of pain, of which God knows nothing. That way is hard indeed and very lonely. Fear and grief are your guests, and they go with you and abide with you on the way. But the dark journey is not the way of God's Son. Walk in light and do not see the dark companions, for they are not fit companions for the Son of God, who was created of light and in light. The great light always surrounds you and shines out from you. How can you see the dark companions in a light such as this? If you see them, it is only because you are denying the light. But deny them instead, for the light is here and the way is clear. So, again, I feel like there's just so much here, and I'll just say that it's comforting. A lot of this is comforting, but the first sentence, the way is not hard, but it is very different. The path that we're on is different than the path that the world teaches, obviously. We all know that, and it actually isn't hard. It is actually the most natural thing in the world, but what we have learned through the ego is the unnatural thing. And I really... The second sentence also really strikes me. Yours is the way of pain of which God knows nothing. I read a blog post by somebody, her name is Calico, and she wrote on her blog post, she had, I believe, had a cancer diagnosis. And one of the things that she had, would say to herself is that God doesn't know cancer. God doesn't know it. It doesn't exist in God, so how can it exist in me? And I believe she was given, you know, a pretty dismal prognosis and is still very much alive and doing very well, and I'm not sure if she's, you know, what her medical status is, but I know she's doing well. And that sentence that she said, you know, God doesn't know cancer, so how can it be in me? I've used that sentence and applied it to so many things. God doesn't know of this conflict, or God doesn't know of this fear, so it can't be real. It can't be real if God doesn't know it. And another thing that I'll just share that comes to mind for me with that second sentence is I was recently working with lesson 183. I'm just going to turn to it for a moment. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful lesson. And this paragraph in this lesson came to mind for me when I read that sentence about yours is the way of pain of which God knows nothing. So God just doesn't know pain, yet we seem to know it because we've taught it to ourselves, but it can't be real because God doesn't know it. This paragraph had to do with prayer. And again, I'm just going to read this one paragraph rather than read the whole lesson, but it's worth reading the whole lesson to get this paragraph in context. If you want to look, it's page 340 in the Sparkle Edition. It's again, lesson 183, and I am about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about the seventh paragraph down. Thus do we give an invitation which can never be refused, and God will come and answer it himself. Think not he hears the little prayers of those who call on him with names of idols cherished by the world. They cannot reach him thus. In other words, God, when we're praying for idols, God doesn't know those idols, and they can't reach him. It goes on to say, he cannot hear requests that he be not himself, or that his son receive another name than his. So this paragraph to me was just speaking to the fact that, again, God is that perfect love, that perfect oneness, and the parts of us that believe that they suffer, God doesn't know that suffering. And so the prayer that just came forward to me is simply, it's from this lesson. It talks about that the name of the lesson is I call upon God's name and on my own. So, you know, we it's not that there's anything wrong with asking for specifics, but if we're in a place where we feel like we need to pray for specifics, we can then be willing to take that whole prayer and give that whole prayer to the Holy Spirit, because simply calling on God's name, asking to know God, asking to see the truth, is one of the deepest prayers that we can ask. So I thought I would just share that paragraph again. That came from lesson 183. It's a beautiful lesson, and that second sentence of this paragraph we just read really reminded me of that. So God does not know pain, and therefore it cannot be in us. But obviously when we're not in our right mind, we can very much think it is there. Or, you know, when the ego is along in the journey, and that's what it's referring to with the dark companions. It's the ego the dark journey is the way of the ego. It's not the way of God's Son, as it says. But how comforting is it when it says that in great light always, the great light always surrounds you and shines out from you. In that lesson, too, that I just read, I believe it's in that lesson where it talks about how angels, when we call upon God's name,
I had a thought. I don't remember what brought this about, but fear, the fear of God,
mm-hmm.
and it, you know, it, and this. Well, this is all bringing this up in my mind, and I mean, I think it relates, but the fear of God. Because God is in everything. Because God is in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
Any fearful thought, in a sense, is the fear of God. And that is so comforting to me,
mm-hmm.
because that is really so upside down that anything you fear has to be an illusion, has to be nonsense, because God is simply love. There really is nothing to fear. For some reason, it just seems to tie in to me.
Yes. That was so, I'm so glad that you shared that. That was really, really powerful. This is just the sentence that I wanted to read. And again, this is still from Lesson 183. Say his name, in other words, God's name. Say his name and you invite the angels to surround the ground on which you stand and sing to you as they spread out their wings to keep you safe and shelter you from every worldly thought that would intrude upon your holiness.
I'm telling you, Corinne, in the middle of the night, sometimes I wake up and the monkey mind starts going. And I will just simply focus on God is.
Mm-hmm.
And if I say it once in my mind, I say it until I go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't stop saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it stops the monkey mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because awesome. Now you've got the power of the angels.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Paula, how long have you been studying the course?
Since 1987.
The reason why I ask you that is because I'm thinking, okay, how long does this all take? I mean, the course does say it took us time to get to where we are, but it takes no time to wake up.
Yeah.
But sometimes it seems to me like it does. Sometimes I forget, you know.
Please. I'll get off the phone. When I get in this energy, are you kidding? This energy is so powerful. This thing that we do on Sunday nights is like, oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, I always find that when we finish, you're right, it's just energetically, it just seems like they're on the phone just talking, but energetically, oh, my God, for the next 72 hours, it just shifts everything for me.
By I would say midweek, by Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I'm reading every day. I mean, I'm trying. I cannot say every day, but basically I do the work. I just keep doing the workbook. The workbook to me is everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But by midweek, it's like, oh, God.
I
need to connect.
Here. You know,
I don't know if anybody else feels this, but when I don't read the course now or I don't connect, it feels really bad to me. It feels like I feel contracted and just in this difficult space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
And I was just going to say, you know, think about what's happening here is that we're all strengthening these ideas in each other's minds for each other. We're all doing it for ourselves and for each other. And so that's what's happening. You know, when you share a thought system, you're strengthening it. And when you don't share it, you're weakening it. So we're coming together and sharing, and we're all feeling the benefit of that.
You know, one other thing about doing the work, the things that were so difficult for me over the years. Just I see how they kind of drop away, the situations. I had a supervisor. Oh, my God. I learned so much from working with that woman, you know, as far as the Course in Miracles is concerned. And she's gone. She's out of my life now. But so many of these situations where I needed to, and I knew when I started working with her, I'm not leaving this job because I need to learn this. And she's the perfect teacher. She was the perfect teacher. So I'll stay and hold because I'm going to take myself with me no matter where I go. And I got to learn these lessons. And this is not to be punished or anything, but it's just a wonderful thing. That's all I can say. But all of the conflict that was so intense has really dropped away from my life. And I still have, you know, I can still manufacture, let me tell you. But I'm walking a lighter path now, I think, mm-hmm. You know.
Absolutely.
The stuff I manufacture doesn't last as long, and, you know.
We don't hang on to it as long.
No, you don't hang on to it.
Sooner.
You don't. It's like, what do I need that for? Why am I doing that?
Yeah.
You know, what do I want with that? What is this? How does this benefit me? It doesn't benefit me. It hurts me.
Mm-hmm. So we start seeing the things that we thought that we cherished before that were helpful for us, we start seeing them for what they are, and that, you know, those things do cause us pain. Essentially, again, what I'm saying is just listening to the ego. So going down the attack path or whatever it may be, we see where before, you know, we may have seen.
So can I ask the question, when we say in the Course, I give this to the Holy Spirit, I'm still, what are we doing?
We're not keeping that thought to ourselves.
Okay, that's good. That's pretty clear. Yeah, okay.
I'm glad that helps.
Yeah.
My ego wants to conjure up an image. It's always trying to conjure up an image. I want to see it. What? I can't see it. What? No, Corinne, that's perfect. Doesn't matter.
We're not keeping it.
Thank you, yeah.
All right, let's read. We'll see if we can finish this section. We only have a few short paragraphs left. God hides nothing from his Son, even though his Son would hide himself. Yet the Son of God cannot hide his glory, for God wills him to be glorious and gave him the light that shines in him. You will never lose your way, for God leads you. When you wander, you but undertake a journey which is not real. The dark companions, the dark way, are all illusions. Turn toward the light, for the little spark in you is part of a light so great that it can sweep you out of all darkness forever. For your Father is your Creator, and you are like him. The children of light cannot abide in darkness, for darkness is not in them. Do not be deceived by the dark comforters, and never let them enter the mind of God's Son, for they have no place in his temple. When you are tempted to deny him, remember that there are no other gods that you can place before him, and accept his will for you in peace, for you cannot accept it otherwise. And I'll pause there, and then we'll read the final two paragraphs momentarily. I saw a number of sentences that were so comforting, like, you will never lose your way, for God leads you. When you wander, you but undertake a journey which is not real. Anything come up for anybody in these two paragraphs? I'll add where it says, do not be deceived by the dark comforters and never let them enter the mind of God's Son. Again, we do that through the Holy Spirit. It's not that we're going to stop having judgmental thoughts or attack thoughts. It's that we have none that we would keep. Because, again, the Course says while we're here, the ego is always going to speak first. So it's not that we're not going to have these thoughts. It's that we have none that we would keep. So we hand them over. anybody.
Corinne, did you say while we're here, the ego, what did you say? Can you say that again?
Yes, the Course says that while we're here, the ego will always speak first.
Oh, my goodness.
But,
I guess because of the polarities of light and dark, that's why we came here. Oh, dear. Okay. Well, that's one. That's what some people say. That's one theory. That's one way of looking at it.
Yes. I think this really helps us to distinguish between the light and the dark, the two voices.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I'm really willing, when I really don't want this nonsense, I'm so willing to just listen to these voices in my head and say, all right, God wouldn't be saying that, so I'm not listening to this. Thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then I lapse and I fall back. But you never really take it to heart. I don't take it to heart like I used to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I know, all right, let me turn this over. I mean, I'm tempted by it constantly.
Mm-hmm.
I just, when you just said that, Paula, there's this month's Holy Encounter from the Miracle Distribution Center has one of the top Course in Miracles of writers, and one of them, and she gives a whole guidelines for, you know, how, what we can do, and she says, remember, the two voices in your head, and one of them is wrong. So choose. One is wrong and one is right. Or she said one of them is wrong. So which one are you going to choose?
Yeah. And you always know which one is wrong because
always
comes down to how do you feel?
Yeah.
That does not make me feel good. That thought about this person does not make me feel good. Now, I still am very tempted to play that out for a little while. Please.
Yeah,
cut it out. Who is she to live up to your freaking expectations here? Who are people that they have to, you know, just stop it? And I lecture myself like a little child. I reprimand that little child.
Yeah. Like, in the Abraham teachings, it's just, you know, choose a better feeling thought. And the Course also says, I'm responsible for what I see.
Yeah.
And there's no idle thoughts, because every thought takes on a form.
Wow.
So I choose a thought that makes me feel better. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's easier said than done sometimes.
That's where I think getting out in the garden or getting just doing something you really love to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so where are we? Only God's comforter can comfort you. In the quiet of his temple, he waits to give you the peace that is yours. Give his peace that you may enter the temple and find it waiting for you. But be holy in the presence of God, or you will not know that you are there. For what is unlike God cannot enter his mind, because it was not his thought, and therefore does not belong to him. And your minds must be as pure as his if you would know what belongs to you. Guard carefully his temple, for he himself dwells there and abides in peace. You cannot enter God's presence with the dark companions beside you, but you also cannot enter alone. I'm just going to keep reading. All your brothers must enter with you. For until you have accepted them, you cannot enter. For you cannot understand wholeness unless you are whole, and no part of the Son can be excluded if he would know the wholeness of his Father. In your mind, you can accept the whole sonship and bless it with the light your Father gave it. Then you will be worthy to dwell in the temple with him, because it is your will not to be alone. God blessed his Son forever. If you will bless him in time, you will be in eternity. Time cannot separate you from God if you use it on behalf of the eternal. And that's exactly what we're learning to do as on this path, is using time on behalf of the eternal, using time as a means of awakening, rather than delay, staying separate from our source, separate from love. And this too, one thing that comes up for me reading this last paragraph where it says that all brothers must enter with you. So, excuse me, for until you have accepted them, you cannot enter. So this is how, you know, we're all helping each other. We're all going together. And so it doesn't mean that if you have a challenging relationship or a difficult person that you have to, you know, stay there or stay in contact with that person. We can still do this remotely where we hand over, you know, whatever maybe grudge it is that we're holding on to, we hand that over and be willing to see it differently. So we're all going to the same place. What comes up, does anything come up for anybody in these paragraphs?
The thing that comes up for me in this paragraph is how the ego, in the Course it says, I need do nothing. And in these situations with people that, you know, really press your buttons, the ego, there's like a background subtle thing that goes on in my head that it's a little bit abstract, but there's always this feeling that I need to do something to make this better or to change it.
Mm.
And only recently have I just had little hints, little powerful glances at this, in that, no, you don't have to do anything. The only thing you really have to do is trust them to love you.
Mm.
You know, because it's all fear. It always comes down to, well, you know, I feel this way, and I'm really pissed at them, but now, I know I can get past that, but, oh, boy, I feel guilty now because, oh, God, on some level, I know that they know that. You know, it's just this. But at any rate, no, we really trust would settle all things now.
Mm-hmm.
I will trust my brothers who are one with me.
Yeah.
It's the most wonderful thing, you know, on that deeper level, to really know that we don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Just connect with love.
You know, you remind me, Paula, of Peace Pilgrim and her example of, and for those of you who might not know Peace Pilgrim, she was an amazing, amazing
God.
Teacher. Before, you know, the Course, she, from 1953 to 1981, she vowed to remain a wanderer until mankind learned the way of peace. So she just trusted that what she needed would be provided, and she just walked all over the continent. And when you were talking, Paula, one of the examples that she shares was just how, you know, she would teach to meet adversity with love. If somebody's about to attack you, she would, and she literally did this a few times, where somebody, she knew that they had an intent to hurt, she looked at them with pure love and literally had no fear in her, came from that place of love, and that person was disarmed. There was a number of specific examples that she gave in that. And so there's a one-hour documentary on her life. It's available for free online. It's called Peace Pilgrim, An American Sage Who Walked Her Talk, and you can find it, I think, on YouTube. So, but that example came up for me, Paula, as you were talking.
Yeah, she really, she must have known truth on such a deep level. Really, you know, I think.
Absolutely.
And she really, oh, my God. She didn't have very much with her. I don't even think she had a coat half the time. I mean,
no, she had nothing. No belongings.
She had nothing. It was, oh, my God, it's really quite something what
yeah,
she
it
did.
Is. It's a really powerful documentary. I highly, highly recommend it.
Well,
we're at the top of the hour. Oh, Didi, did you have something
to add? Yeah, I just wanted to ask, you said she traveled from 1981?
She died in 1981. So from 1953 to 1981, yes.
Okay,
she just trusted.
That's
and
awesome.
She never went more than, I think, 3 days without food or shelter because those things were always just given to her. So,
wow.
Pretty awesome example. Mm.
Is this the first you've heard of her, Deidre?
No, I've heard Corinne mention her before, and I actually went searching for more information about her, but I didn't get very far. So I'm going to look on YouTube now.
Oh, and you know what I'll do? I'll find the YouTube documentary, and I'll post it on MiracleShare on the UCIM study group. So that way, nobody has to dig. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, so much again for another really powerful call. I will talk to you all next week. Have a great one.
Have a great one. Good night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Thank you.
Bye.